Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Wearing my Valentine's heart here. Somebody said you ought to be wearing it on your sleeve. Anyway, think about it. Think about it. All right. Come on, wake up, wake up. For Valentine's Day, Angela did, I did, we're going to talk about love, but as we all know, love is a very broad topic. We could talk about love for our fellow human beings, for example, which is something the world needs now as much as it has at any time in our history. We could talk about love for our neighbors, for our friends, for people of other lands, whatever, which is something that's also taken a pretty big hit recently. I mean, even with all the technology now, when we're talking about love for our friends with the mobile phones and Facebook and Snapchat and all that kind of stuff, I think most people are actually less connected with the people in their life than ever before. And when I say connected, I'm talking about being really completely connected, okay, at the heart level. I'm not text messaging, not voicemail. I mean connected at a level where we share our dreams and our hopes and our fears and our failures instead of just exchanging puppy pictures and political cartoons and stuff like that. Because that's where love comes from, or at least where it's supposed to come from. But unfortunately, we seem to have left it out of the technology just to make it easier, whatever it happens to be. We could talk about love for our family, as Angela did, because that's something we sometimes take for granted when we get those little petty annoyances from our family members. We could talk about love for our pets. Anybody got love for their pets here? Anybody? Okay. I think we missed one. Everybody there. Okay, some people carry that to an extreme, unlike me and my cat Chester, you know, my adorable cat Chester. Want to see pictures? My wife's got about 100 of them on the phone in there. We throw the word love around a lot. You know, I love my house, I love my neighborhood, I love my car, I love my job, I love watching Dancing with the Stars or Project Runway or whatever it happens to be. I love going to the beach, I love sleeping in on Sunday mornings, or even better, I love going to church on Sunday morning, that's my favorite, whatever. I love to shop. You know, all sorts of things. And if you listen to some people talk, everything in their life fits into two categories. Either they love it or they hate it. Kind of funny. It's sort of they go to a movie, you know, love the actors but hated the movie. Go to a restaurant, you know, I love the food but I hated the atmosphere. They seem to have to put all that in, which only shows that they don't understand the power of either love or hate, both of which can create major changes in our life, one of them for the better and obviously the other one for the worse. Now, the kind of love I want to talk about this morning, however, is something that we call romantic love in honor of Valentine's Day, because romantic love is the kind, whether we admit it or not, that we all want. We all want, okay? We'll do almost anything for it, from our teen years until, for some of us, until they haul us off to our final resting place, whatever that happens to be. Now, obviously, physically, we change. As we get a little older, our physical desire changes as we age, but it never goes away. In fact, I have been told by those who know that nowadays, the hottest shows in town are retirement homes and assisted living facilities. Bob, right? Am I right? Very, very interesting. He's worked there for years. In fact, a few years ago, I attended a conference at a retirement home, a couple friends who go to the center here, and it was in a very upscale retirement home community type up in Buckhead, and the title of their one-day seminar on a Saturday was Love in the Golden Years. Isn't that beautiful? And I was there to speak on the spiritual side of it, which was very, very nice. And I was looking through the brochure before I started, and one of the topics they had was a medical expert who was going to talk to the residents, most of whom were in their 70s and 80s, about how to protect against what we call STDs. Okay? You know? And I'm going, this has got to stand for something else than I think it stands for, but it didn't, okay? And I thought it was pretty funny until I noticed that not only were they paying attention, they were taking notes. So no matter what age we are, we all want to love someone, and we all want to be loved. We all want someone that we can share our thoughts and our feelings with, someone we can be passionate with, and someone we can laugh with, play with, and share the world with. All of us want that, right? We're all on the same page. All right. I mean, friends are nice. I've got some very close friends. Having a loving family can certainly help. I've got that too. But we all want this unique experience of romance that allows us to experience something on the outside that wakes up something on the inside, that wakes up something very, very powerful within us. Now, in terms of this teaching, along with health, wealth, and expressing our creativity, love is what Dr. Holmes calls one of the four pillars of our life. And if any one of these four pillars isn't working, it affects everything else. It's kind of like a four-legged stool. If one of the legs is short, the whole stool wobbles. But the one area of these four that seems to cause more pain and more confusion and more dysfunction when it isn't working and more happiness and contentment when it is the area of love. It is. I don't care how great a job you have. I don't care how healthy you feel. I don't care how much money you have. Nothing compares with that feeling of being really, truly, and deeply in love with a person who loves us back just as much. Now, in The Science of Mind, Dr. Holmes talks about it this way. It's very poetic, very lovely. He says, "The essence of love, while elusive, pervades everything. It fires the heart, stimulates the emotions, renews the soul, and proclaims the spirit." Then he says, I love this, he says, "Only love knows love, and love knows only love." Is that a great statement? Only love knows love, and love knows only love. Then he says, "Words cannot express its depth or meaning," which is good. But in all the reading I've done on this, my favorite love quote, romantic love, comes from the poet Rumi, who was a Sufi poet 800 years ago, and he says this in one of his poems. He says, "Do not give your love to just anyone, but only to someone who is willing to cut off pieces of their soul with a knife and weave them into a blanket to protect you." Ooh, everybody say, ooh, all right? Anybody here want to love like that? Some of us have it, but you know, it's nice to have. So if all of that is true, any age we're at, all these things that we all want this, I'm always amazed when I'm talking to someone or somebody's at a party and they say something to the effect that, well, you know, love is not meant for me. Not meant for me. Now, they believe that they exist. They know people who have experienced it or are experiencing it, and they may even have had a taste of it themselves a long time ago, but they seem to be operating on the assumption that they themselves are too old, too set in their ways, too unattractive, too something, whatever it happens to be, that would prevent another person from wanting to share this sacred and precious experience with them. Now, I can't help thinking when I hear this, that if this was only one person, the only person in the world who didn't have a relationship, and every single other person in the world did, I could understand why they would say that. They'd feel a little bit left out. But the truth of the matter is, there are millions upon millions of people all over the world, in every size, every age, and every pay status, whatever you want to say, who believe that there is no available person anywhere who could possibly be interested in them. Some of us have friends who have that attitude. But meanwhile, if you're paying attention, every single day there are people meeting people in a wide variety of ways, from the grocery store to the internet to the gym to whatever it is. There are people sharing a wide variety of fascinating experiences with friends, family, spouses, lovers, and even strangers who may become family, spouses, or lovers later on. There are people going through life everywhere you look with their eyes, their arms, and their heart held wide open. You know these people, and so do I, sharing every ounce of love they have wherever they can, whenever they can, with anyone who's willing to receive it in a loving and caring way. And these are the people we need to pay attention to. These are the people we need to emulate. These are the people who have come to realize at the depth of their being that we live in a world made for love, which happens to be the title of my talk today. See the way I worked that in? Wasn't that cute? Anyway, you see, at the most basic level of creation, which is the spiritual level, as we know, the purpose of every natural and physical law, the laws of physics we call it, is to promote harmony and balance between all things physical. But the purpose of every spiritual law in our life, of which love is one, is to promote harmony and balance between all things, period. All things, period. Not just spiritual things, but all things, because it is all spiritual. So both sets of laws, the physical laws like gravity and magnetism and electricity and all that stuff, and the spiritual laws that we are also familiar with, demonstrate in their own way that we are all connected to one another and to the universe at the level of spirit and at the level of energy, complete and inseparable. It's all one. So that's what's going on at the cosmic esoteric level. And we go, blah, blah, yeah, I've heard that, I've read that. But what about using these laws at the personal level, at the day-to-day level? That's where most of us have trouble making good choices. The truth is, practicing and using these laws in our own individual life could be so much easier if somebody would make the decisions for us. Wouldn't that be much easier? A lot. You know, in other words, it would be nice if every time we had a conflict with someone that separated us from them, whether it's family or just a neighbor, we had some cosmic dem mother who would step in and say, no children, it's not done this way, everybody back together, let's be friends. And we go, just like kindergarten, and you go back together. It would be nice if there was some supreme love supervisor somewhere, okay, who would say, okay, Fred, here's your soulmate. Okay, Carol, here's yours. Have a good time, you know. George, you're going to have to wait a little bit until you change your attitude about other people, okay? Carol, you're going to have to wait until you love yourself more. You're not going to see it till then, you know. That would be easier. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, love in most people's life, and I'm not talking from wisdom, I'm talking from experience, seems to work in this strange trial and error, what have I got to lose? Oops, that didn't work, that kind of a way. That's what happens with most people. That's the reason why so many of us grow up looking for love in all sorts of interesting places, all right? And interesting ways, some of them better than others. Now, sometimes in our past, we found love, which was wonderful. Other times, we thought we found it, but it turned out not to be what we thought it was, but it was fun anyway. That's not bad. Sometimes, it was an absolute disaster. Anybody here ever have an absolutely disastrous love relationship? Just two of us. Okay, that's all right. I love what Cher once said. She said, the problem with some women is they get all worked up about nothing, and then they marry him. You know? This applies to men and women. We can go like that. You know, we want romantic love so much that we do some really crazy things. Not just when we're first starting out either. We do it at all the way up as old as we get. There's a cute story I heard years ago, and it was about this guy who was telling a friend about a date he had had. There seems to have been a woman that had shown up at his office and started working there, and to his mind, she was the most beautiful, sensual being he had ever seen. So he was trying to get her to go out with him, and she was sort of putting him off. But one day, to his great surprise, she said, all right, I'll go out with you. So he picked her up on Saturday, and they went out for the whole bit, fabulous dinner, dancing, all of that, had a marvelous time. So they're driving home, and she said, would you like to stop and park somewhere? And he said, okay. You always like to hear that, right? Okay, okay. And they got there, and he pulled to a park nearby, and there was a lake, and the moon was shining in the lake, and the honeysuckle was in bloom. You get the picture. It was all, you know, great. And she leans over to him and said, it's stuffy in here. Do you think we could take the top down to give us a little room? So he told his friend, well, it took me about an hour, but I finally got the top down, and we proceeded to have the most romantic evening of my life under the stars. And his friend said, well, that's great, but why did it take you almost an hour? I mean, the top of my car comes down in about 45 seconds. And he says, yeah, but you've got a convertible. Okay. You know, so bada boom, bada bing. Okay. So sometimes it may take a lot of work, but the results are worth it. Okay. We've all got that. But then there are the other times. The other times of our life, those days when we feel like we're lost and alone, even if we're in a relationship, and we feel that nobody is ever going to love us enough. You know, we've all felt that way at some time or another. But no matter how bad it seemed at the time, what we didn't realize, and this is really the crux of all this, what we didn't realize was that while we were feeling alone, there was more love than we could possibly imagine banging on our door trying to get in. there really was. But we were so busy feeling sorry for ourselves that we didn't notice it. We were busy feeling like the world was against us, when the truth of the matter was, the world was doing what it always does and doing everything it could to show us, to offer us the opportunity for the love that was already ours for the taking. All we had to do, though we didn't understand it then, was to open up and accept it. To open up and accept it. And no matter what your present romantic situation happens to be, whether you've got a wonderful relationship, and I know so many of you, I know many of you have marvelous relationships, or whether you don't yet have a relationship, you know, or if you're presently in a relationship and you don't feel as loved or as loving as you'd like to be, the world is still offering us that same gift. Offering us the same gift. True, deep, meaningful love is always ours for the taking right here and right now, and there's plenty to go around. There is plenty to go around. But if we don't believe in it, we're never going to find it. If we don't believe in it, we're never going to find it. You see, until we are able to change the way that we understand both love and life, and the two do go together. Nobody ever needs to be living a life without love. Until we begin to accept that both life and love are exquisitely designed. They're exquisitely designed by a perfect loving intelligence to expand and enrich our joy of living. And until we understand this, we may find ourselves wandering around without any direction, emotionally, if not physically, feeling unhappy and loved when we should feel just the opposite. Now, this is true about every kind of love, but it's especially true about romantic love, about having a unique, fulfilling experience with a person that we enjoy so much that we'd actually consider choosing to be around them for the rest of our life. It is. Now, before we go any further, let's look at a very basic spiritual truth and go from there. And if you don't remember anything else about today, remember this. Love is never something we need to find, because there's no place we can ever be where love does not exist. Let me say that again. Love is never something we need to look for or to find, because love, there's no place we can ever be where love doesn't exist. And I'm not talking about just a little bit of love. Some people go around looking for just a little bit of love. That's all they want. I mean, all the love we could ever want or need. And we know this because God is love and law. We talk about that here, and God is everywhere. However, the love that comes from this source can only appear to us as a direct reflection of what love, of what we believe, all right? About what we believe love is and how much of it we deserve. It's a reflection. So the reason we don't always experience as much love as we'd like to experience is because we aren't always honest with ourselves about what we believe about love. You see, the love that surrounds us may not be obvious, and it may not look exactly the way we think it's supposed to look, but it's still there. It is still there. You know, in a way, being able to see love, and this is a great metaphor. I read it somewhere many years ago. It's like wearing special glasses that let us see certain kinds of energy that we can't see with our normal vision. For example, in this room right now, there are microphone waves and cell phone waves and radio waves, all that different stuff moving all around us, moving through us, which is a scary thought, but it's happening, okay? Even though we can't see them. Even though we can't see them, all right? They're a natural part of today's world, but they're not physical. They're invisible energy, all right? That does something. So think of a radio. All right, we got radio waves coming through this room right now. This is sort of an old-fashioned analogy, but here it is. And I could take a radio right now, and I could take it here. I could take it over where Monica sits. I could take it back in the corner where the ushers are. I could take it anywhere here. And wherever I take it in this room, what do I have to do? I have to turn it on and tune it in. That's what they told us in the 60s. You need to turn on and tune in, okay, in order to feel the love, all right? So we're kind of a radio picking up love waves. That's really what we are, okay? In the same way, love itself is not a physical thing. You can't put it in a box, okay? But it shows up in the world we see in a physical way, all right? If it doesn't show up in a physical way, it stays in the realm of fantasy. And a lot of people live their life in a fantasy world. Some people believe that love is just holding hands and making whoopee, sort of like Angela was talking about, but it's not. It's not. Those are just effects. Those are effects of our attitude about love. So the effects of love appear in the physical world. We see them every day, but love is not those effects. Love is the power that makes it happen. You get the difference? Love is the power that makes those things happen. It's the power that gives our life and our relationships meaning and purpose. Now, there's other things that work the same way. Peace works like this. Compassion works like this. Same thing. Love is a very powerful state of consciousness that can do things that nothing else can do. Nothing else can do. And it reaches its peak of power within us when we come to the realization that loving thoughts going out from us benefit us much more than loving thoughts coming to us from any other person. Okay? Not that loving thoughts from another person aren't wonderful and warm and important. They are. I love to receive the love from my wife. It's just that the most powerful energy of love that's ever reflected back to us has to start in here. The reflection in a mirror starts from what's in front of the mirror, what's here. That's the one condition that life puts on us, all right, about when we're talking about love. We have to give it before we can get it. We have to give it before we get it. We have to feel it. We have to accept it. And we have to embrace it with our heart before it shows up as flowers and candy and all that other stuff on the physical world. Now, I don't want to gloss over that. This is a very interesting idea, this principle that we can only attract love into our life by sending it out. Because that's not what the world teaches us when we're growing up. It absolutely is not, okay? Kennedy, my teacher, used to say that nobody goes out on a Friday night trying to give laid. You're going to have to think, if you don't get it, ask somebody. It's really a good line, you know? You know, we aren't taught that we need to give, okay? And we can't send it out by UPS or email or all that other stuff. The only way we can send love out, the only way we can have it emanate from us is by expressing love from in here, from our own heart, not just to the object of our desire, which is usually pretty easy, but 360 degrees to every single person we meet, including those who make it really hard to love them. And God knows there's enough of those out there, okay? We need to do it through our actions. We need to do it through our language. We need to do it through our intentions. And we need to do it through our emotions. Without measuring or worrying about what may or may not be coming back to us. That'll take care of itself. Even more than that, we need to get to the place where we feel a deep sense of love and respect and acceptance for every bit of life everywhere. We can't hate anyone, no matter who they are or what they're doing, and expect to be able to love someone else. Gandhi told us this. He said, you cannot hate anyone and still love everyone. Now, I'm not saying here that hate and anger and empathy can destroy love, because nothing can destroy love. But these things distract us. They distract us, okay? If our heart is filled with hate or judgmentalism or fear or self-pity, we won't be able to muster the energy or the attention to extend love to whomever or whatever comes into our atmosphere, even if they want to love us. Even if they want to love us. Now, the love is still there. We just lose sight of it. We lose sight of it. And pretty soon, we forget about it. We forget about it. In fact, destructive and self-righteous emotions draw our attention in such a direction that we're not only unable to see love, we may even find ourselves attracting its opposite on a daily basis. We really can. So if we are in a relationship already, love solidifies it. It allows us to see what's really important and what isn't. It makes us a better partner. We all know that. If we're looking for a relationship, which you may be, having a loving heart makes us more desirable. Better than perfume or anything else. It really, really is. Not only that, it attracts to us people of like mind. So we'll get a much better selection. If we're a loving person, we will attract loving person. And trust me, if you want a relationship, you want it with a loving person. You really, really do it, okay? And if we're coming out of a relationship, for whatever reason, could be we lost someone, could be a breakup, whatever it happens to be, love is the best way to heal it. It's the best way to heal it. It's the best way for us to get past the pain or the fear or the anger and to learn what we need to learn so we can create a better relationship moving forward, which is already on its way. It's already on its way if you are open to it. You see, the world we live in, even though if you look at the news and read all the stuff going on right now, it's hard to believe, this world is made for love. It really is, all right? And if that's not your experience so far, that doesn't mean it's not true. It's simply a result of a belief that you're separated from God, from the world, from life, and separated from these deep, loving emotions that we're all able to feel, this ability we have to recreate our life. The good news is that belief in separation can be healed. It can be overcome. How? Here's the book answer. By remembering that everything is love and law, that there's one mind, one life, one creation, and we are all inseparable from it, and the love we give is a reflection, the love we receive is a reflection of the love we give. That's what all of the books will tell you, going back hundreds and thousands of years, talking about this thing that human beings have been involved with from the beginning. So if we start to feel dissatisfied or unloved because of what we're not getting from the world, we need to look at what we're giving. We need to look at what we're giving. And then we need to start looking for new and better ways to give, not just to our partner or our spouse, though that's very important, but to the world, not just to make ourselves feel better, but to show ourselves how powerful we can be, how loving we can be, and to show ourselves how much we have to give. How much we have to give. Now, not everyone's going to appreciate it. There will be people who resent it, people who are jealous, but the people most important to us will. And, incidentally, so will we. Because it opens us up to the very best that life has to offer. So eventually, instead of feeling like the world is against us, we'll look around one day and notice that we are intimately connected with the world at every level. People in every country, everyone, everywhere. And our normal everyday life, which is very important, will start to include not only more meaningful romantic relationships, but also deeper relationships that we already have, closer friendships, a family we can love and appreciate, and the ability to bring love with us wherever we go. And as far as I'm concerned, that's about as good as it gets, okay? And if you're lucky enough to get a little chocolate and some flowers and some expensive jewelry out of it, so much the better. God bless you, okay? Because after all, we deserve it. We deserve it. So, whatever your dating status is at the moment, I want everybody in here to promise that you will have a beautiful Valentine's Day. And make it a point. You can start today. Valentine's Day is Tuesday, but hey, you can get a little bit ahead. Make a point to give a little love to somebody and give a little love to yourself because you deserve that too. And remember, this is the truth in your life and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Thank you. All right. Such an interesting topic. It brings up so many thoughts. So many different thoughts, depending on where we are in our life, past thoughts, future fears, confusion. So this moment, let's quell those. Let's set them aside. Take the ideas that resonated with you positively. I give you those freely and set aside the others for later. And let's know this. This universe was not created just to be a place that we go through until we're gone. This universe, this physical universe, was created in such a way that we are able to experience life in amazing ways. And one of the most important ways we can experience this life is through our loving relationships. We have been given physical arms to hold the people we love. We have been given a heart so we can feel for those we can love. We have been given eyes to see the beauty of those we love. We have been given ears to hear the voice of those we love, and we have been given our own voice to say, I love you. So as we feel the importance of our deepest and richest and most loving relationships, whether it's our spouse or our partner, our child, our grandchild, and even those who have gone forward to the next plane, that love is deep. And as we embrace it, it only becomes deeper. So we no longer love people for what they have done or what they say or what our relationship happens to be with them in terms of family. We love people simply because they're here. And we express love simply because that's who we are. As we each begin to see ourselves as a loving spiritual being, having a loving physical experience, our life is transformed. And that love emanates out from us like light from a lamp, touching every person we're around. This is a great gift, and we're grateful for it. We're grateful for the opportunity to love and to be loved. We are grateful for this holiday to celebrate this idea, but we recognize that every day is Valentine's Day because every day is a day that we're ready to love. I accept this truth for myself and every person here and every person on the planet. I embrace it, and I release it into consciousness, letting it be so for me and for every one of us from this moment on. Join me in saying, and so it is.